Grizz fans, get big-time game day deals when you sign up for Buzzer Beaters. Text Buzzer Beater to 833-550-0028 to opt in for exclusive ticket offerings to your next home game today. Get tickets, get hyped, and save big with Buzzer Beaters. Visit grizzlies.com/buzzerbeater for more information.
Morant with a running start. Elevate! Oh, it dunks! Oh, my goodness! Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heave. It's gone! Memphis on top. 7 ticks remain. And Conley now with three. Count it! A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception.
Adams going long. Morant! Oh! He hit it! John Morant, insanity!
You gotta be kidding me.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Grizzlies win on Friday edition. My name is Keith Parrish. I don't know if this feels like deja vu to you. It certainly does to me. Not just that I record a lot of podcasts that might be pretty similar when you line them all up back to back, but the Grizzlies now in consecutive weekends repeated the same process, which was have a very nice, encouraging win on Friday night, and then get some not great injury news and play a road game on Sunday early evening and be very, very shorthanded and lose. About 10 days ago, the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves at home. I described that win as maybe my favorite win of the regular season so far. And then they followed that up with, oh, hey, Desmond Bain and Ja Morant are going to be out against the Wizards, and the Grizzlies put up 92 points and lost to a Wizards team. This weekend, despite not having Desmond Bane, the Grizzlies slow down a Thunder squad that had been playing very, very well. They hold Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to his lowest point total of the season. Grizzlies get a huge win over the Thunder, and that's despite Ja Morant having his worst shooting game of the season, despite Dylan Brooks struggling from the field. They get a heroic performance from John Conchar. You needed somebody to step up. He's the guy who stepped up that game. And so you beat the Thunder. And then at the end of the game, Ja Morant leaves with an ankle injury. We find out he's going to be out for at least a week. He's, quote, week to week as he deals with that injury. And then you play a Nets team, which gets Kyrie Irving back, and you just can't keep up. You play valiantly. You're ahead at halftime. You're within three at the end of the third quarter, but you can't score enough. The Nets get on fire from downtown. Ex-Grizzly Yuta Watanabe goes off, and you get blown out in the fourth quarter, and you lose 127 to 115. Now, I guess I'll focus more on the Thunder game because it was more fun. Although, I guess I take that back. I think we're just going to have to go generalizations, big picture, about where this Grizzlies team is. It's hard to draw a lot of conclusions. We know when healthy, this Grizzlies team is really, really good. We know when not healthy, it's going to be a struggle. Chris Harrington and I talked about at the end of last week, there's no easy or clear solution when Desmond Bane is out because this roster construction lacks guards. Well, now Ja Morant is also out. There's no Ja, there's no Desmond. I mean, there's barely a plan. You have to depend on Tyus Jones having huge games. You have to depend way too much on Dylan Brooks. And also, of course, for the Sunday game, I haven't said it yet, Jaren Jackson Jr. rested. Jaren Jackson Jr., who I want just to be all celebratory about for his Friday night performance because it was incredible. It was one of the better games Jaren Jackson Jr. has ever played. Not hyperbole. The combination of the rim protection and the three-point shooting, sure, we've seen that before a lot. But wrapping that all together with a dominant interior presence, getting 25 points and 12 rebounds, just the eighth 20 and 10 game of Jaren's career, to do it in under 25 minutes of playing time? I mean, an outrageously good performance from Jaren Jackson Jr. And then you're like, okay, he's out for a return to play load management against the Nets. That part's a little disappointing. You hoped on games where you have a day off and then you're not playing on it's not the first night of a back-to-back or anything that Jaren would be able to go because you need him badly. This regular season might be a process. I mean, the good news is the Grizzlies are 10-7 and no one in the Western Conference is running away with it. The top nine teams are all within two games of each other in the Western Conference. I mean, the Grizzlies were in second in the West when they were 10-6 before losing to the Nets. But if you want to look at a big picture view or take everything in totality, you're super encouraged by the way Jaren Jackson Jr. played. If it's just aging, maturity, added muscle, where he's able to not get pushed around. I mean, him crashing the glass has been really, really strong so far in his two games. In his first game back against the Pelicans, yeah, he missed all his three-pointers. Looked very, very ragged. Maybe it was just the natural randomness of making some three-pointers in a second game, but a huge game from Jaren. And again, getting the win when Ja is 5-for-20 from the field. Yes, Ja Morant had 11 assists. That's good to see, but it was a great team victory. By the way, no player has ever gotten 25 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 3 made threes in under 25 minutes before. Also, for good measure, let's throw in Jaren got 2 steals as well. Just an incredible game. Highlighting Conchar again. What are those things I said? When you're missing Bane or you're missing Jaren or you're missing Ja, you're going to have one of those guys come up with a 5 three-pointer game. I literally said, you know, you need like Roddy to make 5 threes. Well, in this one, Conchar made 5 threes. It was great to see a career high 5 made threes, a career high 19 points. He got the double-double against the Thunder, 19 points and 10 rebounds. Conchar also played a whale of a game against the Nets. The shots didn't fall as easily for him. He was just 4-for-11 from the field, but 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals against the Nets. Conchar is playing great. This 35-point explosion from Conchar over this two-game span is great because in the previous 5 games, he hadn't been scoring at all. Before making 5 three-pointers against the Thunder, Conchar had made 2 three-pointers in his previous 4 games. So we need this from Conchar. And he delivered against both the Thunder and the Nets. But there just isn't enough. The story for the Nets game, you know, we're going to get our jokes off about Dylan taking 30 shots. What's Dylan supposed to do? Dylan played well. Dylan Brooks played great defense. He has to guard Kevin Durant. And he also provided the offensive punch. Yeah, 31 points on 30 shots is not ideal. You wish Dylan could get to the line more. I wish Dylan was as good as Kevin Durant. He's not. If you're criticizing Dylan Brooks for his shots against the Nets, you're kind of a weirdo. I know we like making jokes about it's Dylan Brooks time and getting a bunch of shots up. But what is the man supposed to do? 31 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals, and no turnovers? The easy joke here is it's not a turnover as long as you shoot it. All right. Grant you that one. Dylan Brooks was tremendous. What more can the man do? And I know as a Grits and Grinds listener, you understand this context that Dylan shoots a lot more and necessarily shoots a lot more when Ja or Desmond are out. Highlighting that, let's update the tally. This season, when Ja Morant and Desmond Bane are both available, Dylan Brooks averages 13.1 field goal attempts per game. If either Ja or Des miss the game, over 21 field goals per game. Actually, exactly 21 field goal attempts per game. That's a roster construction problem. That's not a Dylan Brooks problem. Steven Adams against the Nets had a season high with 15 points. Also had 10 rebounds. Also had 3 steals. The Grizzlies generated turnovers in this game. One of the best steal games of the season. As a team, they got 13 steals, which is good because the Nets shot over 60% from the field. The Nets shot 60% from the field. It's a miracle the Grizzlies were within 3 at the end of the third quarter. But Steven Adams, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, but 1-for-8 from the line and 5 turnovers. Steven Adams is now shooting 23% from the foul line. What are you supposed to do with that? I don't know how NBA analytics departments count them as far as like missed free throws and what is the equation for how many missed free throws equals a turnover. Like going 0-for-2 at the line, it's kind of like a turnover. And if you're 1-for-8 from the foul line and you have 5 turnovers, I mean, that's like a, let's call it like an 8 turnover game from Steven Adams. It's not good enough. The man has to figure out how to make free throws. I've never seen anything quite like this. No one has ever shot this poor of a free throw percentage for an entire season. The only thing I remember that's similar was Andres Biedrins, who played for the Warriors back in the day. He suddenly inexplicably lost his ability to make free throws. He was, you know, like Steven Adams, he was like a 53% career free throw shooter. And then over his final few seasons, it's extremely low volume, but over his last 5 seasons in the NBA, Biedrins made 23.8% of his free throws. He was 20-for-84. So not a lot of attempts, but all of a sudden Biedrins just couldn't make free throws anymore. That's where we're at right now with Steven Adams, 23% from the line. Yes, the Grizzlies as a team have their best offensive rating when Steven Adams is on the court. Yes, Steven Adams is incredibly valuable to the Grizzlies and what the Grizzlies do. But the missed free throws are very harmful. And with a smaller margin of error, without Desmond Bain and without Ja Morant now for who knows how long, it's crushing. It contributes to the Grizzlies being unable to score. And in this fourth quarter, the Grizzlies made 30% of their field goal attempts, but also just missed free throws. Sean Coleman, who used to do Locked On Grizzlies, had a great stat that entering the game against the Nets, the Grizzlies were last in the NBA in free throw percentage at 71%. Ja Morant and Desmond Bane combined are 83%. So the rest of the team was 62%. And then in this game against the Nets, you fail to make your free throws. You make 54.8% of your free throws. The biggest detractor to that is Steven Adams. In that fourth quarter where things keep falling apart, the Grizzlies made 4-of-8. All right, one was in garbage time by Xavier Tillman, so maybe that doesn't really matter. And the other 3 misses were by Steven Adams. But it's killing you. You have a smaller margin of error with guys out. And the Grizzlies, not just Steven Adams, but the Grizzlies missing free throws is really harming them. In the last 5 games, and this is a cherry-picked stat, and yes, we've been missing players in these 5 games. But the fourth quarter numbers are especially bleak. I mean, you only lost the fourth quarter by 9 points, which seems kind of incredible with the way Yuta Watanabe was making 3-pointers. Yuta, who leads the NBA in 3-point percentage, made 4 3-pointers in just the fourth quarter. Devastating. Grizzlies had no answer for that. But in just the fourth quarters, of the last 5 games, the Grizzlies are last in the NBA in points. They're only averaging 20.4 points in their last 5 fourth quarters. They're also last in 3-pointers made. They've only made 6 3-pointers in the last 5 fourth quarters. Last in field goal percentage, last in 3-point percentage. And the kicker, because why not? They're also last in free throw percentage. In their last 5 fourth quarters across the entire NBA, the Grizzlies are last in field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage. There should be no correlation between field goal percentage, 3-point percentage. Yeah, there's a correlation there, but there should be no correlation to also free throw percentage. Last in all of them? That's brutal. And of course, the context, as you know, Desmond Bane only played in one of those fourth quarters. Ja Morant played in a few of them. The other teams, many of them were at full strength, are able to ratchet down and shut down what the Grizzlies are doing because the Grizzlies have fewer offensive threats. Also, there's the issue of there's no depth. I don't know how many times I can say it's beating a dead horse at this point. You replaced players with NBA experience with players without NBA experience. Very similar to the Wizards game where the Grizzlies actually won the minutes where they had players on the court who had NBA experience. Against the Wizards, when two or more rookies were on the court, this is the game the Grizzlies lost 92-102, they were outscored by 19 in the 20-something minutes where they had two or more rookies on the court. In this loss to the Nets on Sunday, the Grizzlies had two or more rookies on the court for about 22 minutes of playing time. They lost those 22 minutes by 23 points. That's ignoring the final technicality. That's ignoring the final 2 minutes of garbage time. It was 125-108 Nets when the benches cleared to put the subs in the game. Up until that point, there'd been 22 minutes where the Grizzlies had two or more rookies on the court. They lost those minutes by 23. They were plus six in the 24 minutes up until that point when one or fewer rookies are on the court. Like, what is a Kennedy Chandler, Dylan Brooks, Jake LaRavia, Santi Aldama, Stephen Adams lineup supposed to do? You just get out of Dylan's way. What is a Tyus Jones, David Roddy, John Conchar, Jake LaRavia, Stephen Adams lineup supposed to do? You just let Conchar and LaRavia launch threes, which they did. I mean, kudos to Conchar for getting all those three-pointers up. He took seven, he made two. Jake LaRavia attempted 9 three-pointers. We need Jake LaRavia to attempt that many three-pointers. He made three of them. But it's not going to be enough when Yuta Watanabe goes off. And also, Ben Simmons has his best offensive game of the season. His best offensive game as a Net. Kevin Durant scored over 25 points like he has in every single game this season. Kyrie Irving didn't have to do anything as Kyrie Irving made his return. It's just tough. The formula for the Grizzlies winning is really tough right now. And I can't give you an optimistic outlook while Ja and Desmond are both out. The Grizzlies play the Kings on Tuesday. The Kings have won 6 straight games. The Kings have the top offense in the NBA right now. The Kings, on a points per possession basis, have right now the second best offense in NBA history. They haven't played a very hard schedule. But the Grizzlies and the Kings on Tuesday, this is some divergent offensive abilities clashing. I mean, back in the day on video games, I don't think NBA 2K still does this. I don't know if it does or not. I haven't played NBA 2K in a long time. It used to be like you showed the two teams when you're like picking which teams you're going to play with, and it would give you like the offensive attributes of each team and the defensive attributes of each team and the overall rating. It's going to be full marks, full bars for the Kings on offense and nothing. It's going to be absolute pit of despair offensive ability for the Grizzlies. Will they have enough? Yeah, they might. The Grizzlies have been great at home. The win over the Thunder at home, yeah, it's their first win this season when they were missing Desmond. They can repeat that. I'm not going to be surprised if the Grizzlies beat the Kings in a home game on Tuesday. But you're definitely going to need that offense to give you something. You're going to need a Conchar to make 5 more threes, or LaRavia, or Roddy, or someone unusual. Aldama, he's been great at home. Maybe we'll get a big Aldama game. Maybe Dylan will be totally on fire. The Kings don't play a lick of defense. So if you're ever going to get your offense humming, it's a great matchup for it. But the schedule's not easy. home game against the Kings. Then on Friday night, the day after Thanksgiving, you have a home game against the Pelicans. Then you got to play at the Knicks. Then next Wednesday, all right, that's going to be like a week and a half since Ja's injury. Maybe he'd be back. Next Wednesday, you go to the Timberwolves. Then on Friday, December 2nd, you host the 76ers. We get to play Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton in back-to-back games. You're basically in damage control. You're hoping to steal a couple games, is how I feel about it. The good news, again, no one's running away with it in the Western Conference. You win a couple games, you're going to be back at the top of the conference. You lose a couple, you'll be down in the play-in. But Ja, like, the injury's not serious, so it's not, again, it's not run screaming to the hills. When healthy, the Grizzlies might be the best team in the West. I haven't seen anyone playing better than the Grizzlies this season when they're healthy. When not healthy, it's going to be a struggle. And you're going to post these, you know, 20-point fourth quarters, these weak second halves. You're going to depend on the variance of three-point shooting nights. And when your opponent makes 16, and I mean, you hit 12. 12 used to be good enough. It's not as good this year. It's going to be a little bit tougher. Anyways, let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to organize my notes and figure out what things I missed as I attacked the first half of this show in a scatterbrained fashion. Anyways, be back right after this word from our sponsor. Don't miss the Grizzlies 24-hour Cyber Monday promotion presented by Ticketmaster. The Grizzlies Cyber Monday sale begins on Monday, November 28th at 9:01 a.m. Central, where the Big River Steel Terrace tickets for select December home games will be available for up to 35% off. For one day only, fans will have the opportunity to choose from six December home matchups, including Friday, December 2nd against the 76ers, Monday, December 12th against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, and the holiday game on Thursday, December 15th against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Tickets for this limited time offer are available for purchase online only at grizzlies.com. All right, so here's a stat I almost omitted, almost missed it. Talking about how the Nets made 60% of their field goal attempts. Part of that is the Grizzlies did not protect the paint or the rim and actually recorded zero blocked shots. It's been 3 years since the Grizzlies had a game without a blocked shot. This loss was the Grizzlies' sixth road loss. They're 4-6 on the road. They've only played seven home games. They're 6-1 at home. So hopefully their fortunes will change when they play a few more home games. As a overall statistical look at the team, I don't even know if these things are useful because it's been a stark contrast between healthy team, unhealthy team. Like, we've had 0 minutes. 0 minutes, zero games of Ja, Desmond, Dillon, and Jaren together. 0 minutes of my dream lineup, the Grizzlies' own death lineup of Ja, Des, Dillon, Brandon, and Jaren. The Grizzlies are just middle of the pack. It feels like at everything. There's nothing statistically significant they do right now other than offensive rebounding. They are 10th. In offensive rating, they are 21st in defensive rating after 17 games. In the last 2 weeks, those numbers are flip-flopped virtually. They're 11th in defense in the last 2 weeks and 20th in offense. But, I mean, what's the takeaway? Ja Morant and Desmond Bane don't play. They're 21st in effective field goal percentage. Last season, they were 22nd in effective field goal percentage. The change there is they're 21st this year in opponent turnover percentage. Last year, they were 4th. One thing I will say that we need to maybe just focus on is the excitement of that Thunder win. Because, I mean, what are on-off net rating stats going to tell us right now? Good when the starters, bad when the second unit. There's no one who is an outlier to that. All the bench has a negative on-off net rating swing. The hot start without Ja Morant we had last year. further and further in the rear view. The Grizzlies are 0-3 without Ja Morant this season. But the Thunder game was so fun. Let's not forget it. We can wrap up the show with just like close your eyes and think back to the time where in like a 10-second span, Kenrich Williams had his shot blocked by Brandon Clark, where you could audibly hear someone on the court scream, "Block that." And then on the subsequent offensive possession, Jaren Jackson Jr. dunked him into oblivion. I did not know Jaren Jackson Jr. could do that. Beats Kenrich Williams off the bounce and two-hand dunks over him. I think Jaren had a two-hand dunk like a possession later off an offensive rebound. We also had a very exciting play where Ja Morant dared Josh Giddey to shoot and then got the defensive rebound, and then Ja Morant baited Giddey into lunging for a steal, and Morant goes behind the back, gets a no-look assist. We also had Dylan Brooks, who had been ice cold in the Thunder game, putting it away, icing it with back-to-back buckets in the final 2 minutes, including a final ridiculous fadeaway 21-footer to give us the hammer-nail-coffin moment. Those were so sweet. If we just didn't have all these shorthanded losses following these very exciting victories, maybe we'd have a little bit more fun on our Monday episodes. Well, anyways, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, the Grits and Grinds YouTube channel. I sprinkle in highlights and some graphs for these shows. So if you enjoy that, maybe more than the audio version, or hey, why not both? You can both listen and watch over on YouTube at the Grizzlies podcast, Grits and Grinds page. And even if you don't want to watch them, go ahead and subscribe. It really helps me out. Anyways, don't miss the Grizzlies home games on Tuesday and Friday. Get the tickets. Call 901-888-HOOP or visit the FedEx Forum box office. Hope you guys have a great Monday. Talk to you soon. Go Grizz.